Bishus Kal Sharei Tvila, the Muncie Nights Eid Beis Medrash in conjunction with Hakel welcomes everyone to today's program. Today's program is sponsored Le'ilu Nishmas Reb Nissen ben Reb Shmuel and Le'iloi HaChover Moshe Mordechai ben Tzvi. In Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we say in Shmoneh Esrei, Zecheinu L'chaim, Melech Aviz B'chaim. And at the end, we say, Uchsoiv L'chaim Toivim. Different Lashonis in the beginning to the end. In the beginning, it's L'chaim without Toivim. At the end, it says the word Toivim. The Vilna Goyin explains that the Chaim in the beginning, without the word Toivim, refers to Ruchnius, refers to Torah. Rosh Hashanah is a time to daven for Ruchnius, not just Gashmius. At the end of Tefillah, where it says, when we say Toivim, Chaim, Toivim, Toivim refers to Gashmius. Gashmius can be good or not so good, but Ruchnius is pure. Ruchnius is no levels in terms of what we daven for. We daven for Ruchnius. The Muncie Nights Eid Beis Medrash, its sole purpose is to create Harbotzas Torah and more Torah and Torah in the Muncie community. We have various different programs. We have Chaburis, Shiurim, all different types of programs. We encourage everyone to attend whatever they can, as much as they can. And it should be a zchus. We should all be zeicher to exceed the chasim v'tayven agud geben shior. Today we have a very special program. We have with us Harav Eliezer Liebschlitter, Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva of South Monty, to give us a divrei hisayris, and Rav Zev Smith Schlitter on the subject of Rosh Hashanah, its significance and awesome power. Rav Zev Smith Schlitter.
I once overheard two Yidden talking. It was a legal holiday. And one asked the other, what are you doing on this Yom Tov? And the other one was a little offended. I don't blame him. It was not Labor Day. It was December 25th. Calling it a Yom Tov certainly is inappropriate. But the truth is that there is some truth to it, that a day like today is really a very special Yom Tov. The Mishnah says in the end of Tainus, and the greatest Yom Tovim Klal Yisrael had are Yom Kippur and Tezvav Ba'av. And the question is, Yom Kippur, we understand, is a great day, a day of Slicha. But what's the uniqueness of Tezvav Ba'av? So the Gemara says, one of the Pshatim, they stopped cutting wood for the avoiding the Beis HaMikdash. They had enough wood, they didn't need any more wood, and they stopped cutting the wood. And the question is, if you finish the mitzvah, you should feel sad. You've been deprived of a mitzvah. Why did that become the greatest yontif by Yidin? Says the Rabbeinu Gershom, one of the Rishonim, Bava Basra, and the Bava Basra, of course they finished the mitzvah, but they had now more time to learn. And for Yidin, the greatest yontif is another moment of Limud HaTorah. Today's a Yom Tov. Today we have off, and we have this wonderful Kiddush Hashem. I wonder if the Olam appreciates enough what this is, taking off time from a day off and turning it into a day on. There's no greater Yom Tov than these type of days. I'm certainly very honored to be part of this wonderful Kvod Shamayim Hagel Torah LaHadira. It's been an inspiration. The association I have with this night's theater program, you know, this morning Yarchei Kala, inspiring and uplifting to get to know Rav Yossi and to feel his enthusiasm, his burning desire to see Yidden understand what Yom Tov really is, to see another moment of Torah, another shir, another night's theater, another program. Rishon should give him and all of you the to see the fulfillment of this dream, Lahagdol Torah LaAdira, to understand that the greatest Yom Tov is when we have more time to devote, to spend in the Kaisli Beis Medrash. Rosh Hashanah, we all know, is certainly a very, very special Yom Tov. Miyichya, Miyayosha, Miyisholev. It's all about everything that's important to us. But I want to talk about today understanding the Yontov Rosh Hashanah. If I could perhaps quote the Gemara's question and paraphrase it. My Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara speaks about Chanukah, my Chanukah, but Chanukah I think I have a handle on. What is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin. The Ran says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Gimel, it's a Yom HaDin, okay. But then again, it's a Yom HaTfilah. Many Kehillahs, there's barely time for a Suda. They daven the whole day. But then Yom Hashanah is a day of Tshuva. Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah, we cry out in the peak and the climax of the day, it's a day of Tshuva. But then again, it's a day of Seifa. Tikka b'choy de Seifa, b'gesel yom chagein. Is it a Yom Tov? In Halacha, it's not clear. In the Torah, there's no mention of Rosh Hashanah per se as a Yom Tov. Again, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ba'kesel L'Yom Chageinu, there's a reference that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. Okay. You know Techinach, in Shmitzah Shin Yerav, and how the one word that he used to describe Rosh Hashanah, he calls it Chesed. It's a kindness. It's a gift. It's a matana from the Yevishter. Because if not, there wouldn't be a world. Says the Chinuch, Rosh Hashanah is kiyumai shel olam. It ensures and it guarantees the existence of the world. Imagine if we would have year after year and we wouldn't stop and take stock and ask ourselves, okay, where are we? Where are we going? What are we doing? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we becoming all that we're destined to be? Rosh Hashanah, we come to abrupt halt. And we look into ourselves. We have a new perspective on life. It's a new year. It's a new lease on life. And where am I going or what am I doing? And am I really becoming myself? The Abishta gave us a kiss of love, and that's called Rosh Hashanah. In fact, the Chinuch says that's why Rosh Hashanah justifiably is considered a Yom Tov. Because it's a chesed, it's a kindness. And then you have another word that's very closely associated with Rosh Hashanah, and that's betachin. The halacha is, the Torah quotes this. We come to shul dressed in Bigdei Shabbos. We get haircuts as the tour. Why? We're betuchim b'din. We feel confident. The Shaifa, of course, is the central part of Rosh Hashanah. The whole day, twice, in Parshas Emor and Parshas Pinchas, Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah is a day of Shaifa. But you know what in Halacha seems to take the most prominent role in defining the essence of Rosh Hashanah? It's a Gemara that we have to study and understand, because that really brings us to the truth, to the actual Avodah of Rosh Hashanah. It says the Gemara, Ein donan esa adam elofi maisev shal oisasha. A person of Rosh Hashanah, whether we realize or not, whether we understand or not, a whole year depends on Rosh Hashanah. Reb Chaim Shulevitz had an uncanny ability of taking very profound concepts and putting them into a word or two, into a very tangible, practical expression. And he once explained what Rosh Hashanah is. You say a story of this fellow in the shul, and Nebuchadnezzar, Sukkis, he got sick. He got a cold, and he got worse, and he got and Chanukah. He got ammonia, and he deteriorated. And Nebuchadnezzar was nifta. So Chaim Shulevitz say, you got the dates all wrong. He didn't get sick on Sukkot and get pneumonia on Chanukah and died on Purim. He got sick and he got pneumonia and he died on Rosh Hashanah. Because miyichya miyamas, that's what it's all about. Everything that's so dear and so important to us, ourselves, our health, our children, our panasa, our happiness, it all depends on these days. My Pam used to say, and it was hard for him to say it, but he says, His mother used to say, "Mishtarf nishvan a machla. You don't die from a machla. Mishtarf from the sound of toikif." It's happening in these days. So what are you doing these days? Are we supposed to be panic stricken? Are you supposed to be full of worry, hopeless and helpless? But doesn't the Gemara say it's a yomtiv? Aren't we supposed to be happy? How do we juggle these two realities? It's a yomtiv and it's a day of din, that anything and everything that's precious to us depends on it. The Gemara gives us a gift, a chesed. Rosh Hashanah, if I give a marshal, is like the brain of a person. A person is playing basketball and he hurts his hand, and he hurts his floor, hurts his foot. So he has to take care of it. Could even be a terrible break, but he recovers, and he could live, and he could continue with a broken foot, with a broken hand. But the brain is so delicate that anything, the slightest damage on the brain, Rachmana Litzlan, could make a person paralyzed, could be the worst thing. The brain is so sensitive that everything in it has to be perfect. And the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah is the brain of a year. The way you are, Rosh Hashanah, forget about what you were till now. Let's forget the past. Let's focus on the present. And let's build the future. Says the Gemara, the way we are, Rosh Hashanah, that's the way we're zeicher to din a whole year. And the Gemara brings a striking proof to this. Shanema kishom Hashem es kol anar b'shehu shom. Here Yishmael, the forebearer of enemies of Klal Yisrael, to this very day, how many millions of Yidden suffered at the hands of Bnei Yishmael? And the original Yishmael was dying in a desert. And they wanted to just leave him die. Doesn't he deserve to die? Look at all the trouble that him and his children will do for Klal Yisrael. But the age says, that's not the way I run this world. I judge a person by Shehu Sham right now. Is he a Rasha? He's not. Let him live. We're going to help him survive. Says the Gemara, that's what Rosh Hashanah is. Im the Rosh Hashanah says, Im Zach V'yosha Atah. Not V'yisa Atah. How are you now? Are you not only saying Shana Toiva Masuka, but are you living Toiva Masuka? That's the way he is going to be. And think about it. The whole concept that's so sacred by Yidden, the menhagim that we have, the simonim on Rosh Hashanah night, we dip the apple in the honey, and we have all the various simonim, the various symbolic fruits and vegetables. Why? It's this concept. Because Rosh Hashanah has to be perfect. And any symbolism that we could make, we're going to use, but we have to take advantage. We don't sleep at Rosh Hashanah. Same reason. We don't eat sour foods. We're careful not to eat eggos. Eggos is gematria chet. We become very into these things. The whole year we're not so busy with these schoolies and what not to eat, what yes to eat. And all of a sudden Rosh Hashanah, these quote, these trivialities, take on a central role. You know why? Because that's the brain of the year. Basheru Sham. We're not going to eat sour. We don't want to be sour. We're not going to get niachet. We're going to be sweet. We're going to eat sweet things. We're going to do things perfectly. But there's another definition of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says something striking. And it has to be said and re-said because that's really the neshama of Rosh Hashanah. Kol shana sherasha b'tchilasa misasheres b'soifa. So Rashi explains, Rasha, of course, is reish shin hei, lashon of poor. If a person or shana feels that he's poor, misasheres b'soifa, that will be a very successful year. What does that mean? As I said, maybe that's why before Rosh Hashanah we get so many tzedakah envelopes. We cleaned out. We could go into Rosh Hashanah poor. But that's not what it means. I once saw a beautiful letter, and if you could somehow look into it and read it sometime before Rosh Hashanah, I guarantee it will make a difference in the Rosh Hashanah. The Sifsei Chayef of Chaim Friedland Zichrono Livracha, the Chelek Aleph, the letter he wrote from America. He was in Sloan Kettering Hospital, he was Nebuch dying, and he writes a very moving letter to his beloved Talmid Mimponovich. And he writes, what does the Gemara mean? We have to feel like you're poor, and if we feel like we're poor, we end up being rich. Like, you know, what's the significance of that? Says Ibn Chaim, and this is the Pashat of Shat in the Gemara. This is the halachah l'maaseh of this Gemara. A person has to understand that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the lease expired. The term ended. Baruch Hashem, he's healthy. And Baruch Hashem, he has panasa, and his job is secure, and his family is wonderful, and his children are growing nicely, and everything is fine. But we have the emunah kedala mucharashim dafaklu d'lasecha. That was Tavshin Ayin. What will be in Tavshin Ayin? Nobody knows. We have to start and beseech the Rebbeinu Shlalem, and renew our lease, and renew our contract. For everything, nothing is given, nothing is for granted, nothing is guaranteed. We have to come, and we have to ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and beg Him, HaChoseich Chayim L'chol Chay. Every living being needs a new lease of life. Whether he's 90 or 9, it's irrelevant. If we come in Rosh Hashanah, then we have nothing. Of course, we have a job, we have health, we have family, but that was in the past. What in the future, nobody knows. That attitude, says Reb Chaim, is asheres b'soifei. That brings a successful, a gebenster Rosh Hashanah, because you have perspective. You have the right attitude, the right outlook, and you know that we need the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for everything. And we have nothing, gedala mecharashim. And then he adds, very meek, very moving. For someone that's healthy, it's very hard to relate to this. But for someone that's in a hospital fighting for his life, when last year we were healthy and everything was fine, it's easier to relate to. Kol shana sherosh v'tchilosa is we feel that everything is on the line. And we have a muchzik in nothing. That's Rosh Hashanah. And that of course explains why the pachar of the Yom HaDin, because we're realistic. You know, the Medrash says, the Malachi Ashar has turned to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, why aren't Yidin saying Shira? Rosh Hashanah, besides being a Yom Tov, is Rosh Chodesh. So for two reasons there should be a Hallel on Rosh Hashanah. Where's the Hallel? Amalam Hakadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry, this is the Gemara. It says the Gemara. Amalam Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Epsha Melech Yosef Achisei Din V'Sifichai V'Sifimaisim Suchu Lefonav V'Yisrael Oymim Shira. How do you expect the Yid to say Shira? Everything's on the line. Sifichai V'Sifimaisim. And the Rambam, though he says it, it's not a day of Shira. Says the Rambam, Yimei Tshuva V'Yira V'Fachad. You know, I once gave a mashal that the Rambam is saying something that it is a Yom Tov, but it's a day of year and pachad. Imagine, lo yaleinu, a person had two sons working in the World Trade Center on that fatal morning, and he doesn't know if they're alive, they're still here, and he's given a number. If you call this number, you'll be able to verify exactly if your children survived. Imagine his hands are trembling, his life is in, his mom is hanging in a balance, and he calls the number. And just then, he's waiting for someone to pick up. He says, oh, today's Rosh Chodesh. I forgot to say Hallel. At that moment, can he expect it to say Hallel? He's going to find out if his two children are still alive. Can he say Hallel at that moment? Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Meisim, Psucho Lefanav. There was a reality. There was an emuna that maybe we are really required to say Hallel today. But we can't do it. Oinus, we can't do it. We're unable to get ourselves together to say Hallel on a day of such crucial ramifications. We had the eyes. We had the heart to feel what these days were. We would understand that we're simply unable. We're incapable of saying hallow. We should say hallow, but we just can't do it. You meet a person Thursday, Mit Hashem, and you'll ask them, what's today? And I'll say, today is Thursday. He's out of touch. He should say, today is a Yom HaDin. Today is a day of Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Meisim, Psuchim Lefanav. And that explains, of course, why Rosh Hashanah is this incredible Yom HaMishpat. And that's why we have to look at it and say, this is a year that we're coming in as Roshim. Has to be a day of tshuva. Remember once a number of years ago, it was during these days of Seres Mei Tshuva, someone, a Pashta Balabas, I have not yet found the Pashta Balabas, but officially the Pashta Balabas, and he asked me a shayla about Ben Adam L'Chaveire. I said, those are my most difficult shaylas, but let me hear, what's your shayla? He starts telling me he has a bris this coming Shabbos tshuva. I said, oh, wonderful, what's the shayla? Well, he says, I don't talk a whole Shabbos tshuva at all. And he have to have a bris, and I have to meet people, how am I going to greet the people? I said, what do you say? You don't talk the entire Shabbos tshuva at all? So he looked at me with a profound disappointment. And he says, what's the chiddush? He said, I'm fighting for my life. I should be doing something different on Shabbos tshuva. So I said, of course you should, you know. And he said, so what's the shayla? So he says, the shul where I daven, the people that from my kehillah, I'm not worried about. Because they know, I don't talk in shul, the whole Aseres Yemei Tshuva, even during the week. I'm just worried about the outsiders. I says, one second, you don't talk the whole Aseres Yemei Tshuva in shul, and on Shabbos? He goes, why are you surprised? I'm fighting for my life, he says. And then he added something that I'll never forget. He said, it was just, I think, that past summer, there was Nebuch Levi in Eretz Yisrael. He was a young boy, passed away. He was swimming and he drowned. And by the Levi, the father got up and says, I blame one person for this tragedy. And as you can understand, there was a collective gasp from the crowd, like, you know, who's he going to blame? The lifeguard, the counselor. He said, I blame myself. Because if I would have a muna when I davened last year, that meyichya miyamis wasn't only myself and my parents, but it was even my child, this child, if I would have davened him, maybe this tragedy would have not happened. I didn't have enough muna. Meyichya miyamis is going on everybody in any age. I blame myself for this. That's a feeling of kol shana sherosh v'tchilasa. We have to daven for ourselves, daven with children, for everything. It can't be business as usual in these days. It has to be a different attitude, a different outlook. You know, there's a meaning not to sleep in Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah says you can't find the Yishalmi. You know, my feeling is, maybe there's no such Yishalmi that's quoted that you're not supposed to sleep. There's an old Yisoy, the Velt says, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, both days we don't eat. But there's a crucial difference. Tisha B'Av, ve ken esim. Yom Kippur, ve vil esim. Tisha B'Av, who could eat? Who has an appetite? Such a chorban out there. Yom Kippur is much different. We're so elevated. We're so dehaibin. Who has to eat? Who needs? Who wants food? Who needs food? We have a davening, we have a shachar, we have a Muslim. Who needs to eat? I was thinking that's Rosh Hashanah. Mitzad Echad, who has to eat? There's a day full of such a voida, of such awesome closeness to Borei Olam. Who's thinking about food? Ve'adav esim. But then the other chayid, the maimon, also thinks, who could eat? Who could sleep in these days? You know, there's not much eating going on Rosh Hashanah. The people are davening, and sleeping is always very scarce. Who could sleep? Who wants to sleep? There's a day that we can't let go from our grasp. Maybe that gives meaning to the many Rishonim hold, the Ravion, the Arzeruah hold, the Rishana, you're allowed to fast. Even though it's a Yom Tov. This is the enigma, if I could use that word, the paradox of Rosh Hashanah. Mitzar Echad, it is a Yom Tov. But it's a Yom Hadin. There's a Chiv of Hallel, but we can't say Hallel. Rosh Hashanah is best described the Gilu Bira'ada. The focus has to be on Gilu, on the Simcha Rosh Hashanah. The Shagas Aryeh proves in the Tshuva that there's a Chiyuv of the Raisa of Simcha Rosh Hashanah no less than on Sukkot Pesach and Shavuos, even though the Torah does not say the Samachtu B'Chagecha. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Simcha. And we paskin that you have to have a Suda, the Mechabas, you have to have Bas Hashamein and all the delicacies of a Yom Tov. But at the same time, it has to be the Ra'odah, the Pachar of the Yom Adin, the Miyichya Miyomus. They're kenes and they're dapes, but we have to eat. The Berhetiv says that on Rosh Hashanah, believe it or not, you have to cry. A regular Shabbos, a regular Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cry. And says the Berhetiv on Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah, even a Chalba Shabbos, we have to cry. Now there's a big kasha on this in Halacha. We'll soon see the Pasuk says, Al tifchu, you're not supposed to cry. But in Rosh Hashanah is this very confusing Yom Tov. Do you know the Rechab in Shulchan Aruch, Tov Kuf Tzadik Ches, says like last year, Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbat, like last year, by Mincha, again, Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbat, by Mincha, we say Tzidkascha. Can you imagine? People wait for a Yom Tov or a Shabbos, you don't say Tzidkascha. That's after the Yom Tov, you skip Tzidkascha. And Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos, you say Tzidkascha. Why? Because it's not really a Yom Tov. It is a Yom Tov. It's not a Yom Tov. You know, we're getting these mixed messages. But in stark contrast to all this, the Navi with his Oigen gives us direction how to look at Rosh Hashanah. The Pasuk in Nehemiah, Perek, Kapitel Ches, speaks about Yidden who apparently were great Dehoibin Yidden. And it came to Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, Ki Boichim Kalam, imagine you come to Shul, and everybody's crying, man, woman, and children, they're all crying. Why, says Rashi, because they weren't Mekayim, the Torah, and it's Rosh Hashanah. They couldn't look themselves in the mirror, it's Rosh Hashanah today, look how we look, what's going to be with us? So you know what the Rabbi says? Hayoyim Kaddishu, today's a Yom Tov. Al tisablu, al tivku, don't cry. L'chu echu mashmanim, u'shesu mamtakim, go out and make a Yom Tov suda. B'shul chuman es neinochoin, al teyatzevu, don't be depressed. Ki kodesh hayoyim adenein, today's a Yom Tov. Al teyatzevu, ki chedras Hashem hi mu'uschem. What does that mean? Why should they cry? Why should they be worried? How can you eat a suda? How can you tell someone to be happy if Sipri Chaim and Sipri Mason have sucha lefanav? My dear friends, that's the chesed of Rosh Hashanah. We have a big outstanding cheshbon out there. Yes, so look at our credit. We're in the red. We have chayvus. We just said the vidur amnisim goyim, what the various that he said he did, and what should we say? But there's a gift that's called tshuva. There's a gift that begins Rosh Hashanah, and every year a palm would say hein. I speak the first of Rosh Hashanah. Hein is Rosh Hashanah. The erste tov von aseres v'mei tshuva. He was saying a very simple but overlooked concept. It's the first of the days of Dirshu Hashem b'imatzi karu b'yaisei karayv. It's a day of unlimited opportunity. You know, Rebbe Chassan, one of the greatest Bali Musa, the Rebbe of Rabbi Shalom Shadron, in his last shmooze that he ever gave, he told the following story of this person living in a little city, and he was never very sick. He went to a doctor, the local doctor. Says, you know, this is out of my range. You have to go to the big city to find a big doctor. I can't help you. And he's a poor fellow. How did he get to a big city? But he has no choice. He starts traveling, and it's going to be a day and 2 days. And he's deteriorating. He's getting worse and worse. He can't go on. He has no koyach. He's cold. He's sick. He hasn't eaten in a day already. But he's pushing on. He's pushing on. But he's holding past his last strength. He's going on empty. And just then he spots the city. Because I got so far, I got to go on. He pushes himself. And the last strength, he comes to the first door and looks at this big sign, Dr. So-and-so. There it is, doctors. And he looks and he sees there's a beautifully set table with food and a glowing fireplace, warmth, food, health, everything. But the door's locked. And he doesn't have the strength even to push the door open. He can't do it. He doesn't have the koyach. He says, I got so far. I gotta get in, but it's locked. I get this cup he has. So where do people hide the key? Under the doormat. So he bends down with his last strength, and he sees there's a ring of 10 keys. 10 keys, it's gotta be one of them. I have no strength, but he pushes the first one, the second, the last key. It almost fits. He pushes it in, he's about to turn, but apparently it was there so many years in the rain that a little rust accumulated, and the last bit is a little too much rust, and he can't turn the key. Starts crying, I got so far. A little, if only I could file off that rust, I could get it and everything I need. Says up late, that's the gift of tshuva. Pischu li Pesach, the pischu shomechet. You're almost there. What you have to do is what you could do, that little bit to scratch off the rust the on your heart, the accumulation of the decay from over the year. And Hashem will open your pischu shalom. The whole hall, the banquet is waiting for you. The Navi Nehemiah knew what Cher is. Knew what Rosh Hashanah is. Knew what Yom HaDin is. But he reminded us, even we have a gift called Rosh Hashanah. A time that if we get our act together, if we finally say this is going to be the year and we open the Pesach Shomechat, I'll tell you a tzevu. But it's overwhelming. It's just insurmountable. You're right. But you have to do yours. Avani eftach lachem kepischei shel ulam. Lachem, you knew the oimik of Yom HaDin, but you knew the oimik of Chesed Hashem, that if you finally make this Rosh Hashanah like it should be, the pischei shel ulam is open for you. Ki kodesh hayom adeinenu. You know, it's very strange. You tell the halacha, this is again actually halacha lamaisa. We shower, we take haircuts, we get dressed. We're betuchim bedin. Who are you betuchim bedin? Rav once told me, yes, one of his balabatim was very far from anything. He says, no, you ready for the high holidays? He goes, yes, Rabbi, I am. I bought the New Year's card, I bought the apple and the honey. I'm all ready for the New Year. We need more than New Year's cards to get into the new year. You know what the secret is? Kol Shana Sherosh B'Tchilosa. When a person feels like that pasha to eat, he's fighting for his life, and he's doing as much as he could do, then he's betuchim. Imagine you have this very wealthy person, a very kind person, who looks around his community, there are hundreds of people unemployed, breadwinners that have no panasa, and he's going to do something astonishing. He's opening a business for the reason of employing the unemployed. He doesn't care if he doesn't make a profit, he has enough money. He's going to make a business that's going to basically give jobs to the community. So, you know, he opened and a few hundred people were immediately employed, and it was a wonderful simcha. But you know, if there was no feeling that you have to make profit, he wasn't into it, and people sensed that this is a different type of business. The business slacked off, and people started becoming, you know, more complacent with their jobs. And one day he realized that he was losing thousands of dollars per day. And he called an emergency meeting and says, as of right now, you're all unemployed. This business is closing immediately. I opened the business to help people, and you just ignore it. And you can imagine the pain. Hundreds of people are unemployed. But then he smiles and says, but one thing I tell you. I did this for you, and I'm still there for you. I'm giving out a two-week trial basis. Whoever works the next 2 weeks faithfully, never lost a job, and everything continues. Every benefit is the same. But if I notice that you're not working faithfully, you're unemployed, starting from effective immediately. A very frightening announcement to make. But the devoted worker feels very confident. Because he knows he's going to be faithful, and he's devoted, and he trusts his employer, his integrity, his honesty, his devotion, that his word is a word. How does he feel in those 2 weeks? Well, actually, his job is on the line, that's true. But he knows that if he continues performing with devotion, the job is guaranteed his. After all, he knows he could do it. He knows the boss is honest. That's Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah created a world that we should do his ratz. And throughout the Yad HaChinuch says, we slacken off, and the rust accumulates, until the Rosh Hashanah says, that's it. Term is over. The lease expired. You want a new lease on life? Deserve it. Show me that you're faithful and you're devoted and you deserve it. The person that goes into Rosh Hashanah with the right perspective, he could be confident. He knows his boss, Kaviyachul, the Melech Malchei HaMelachim. Chaisama, he was MS. If David says, you will live if you're good to me, he will live and he will have all the brachas. In Mekoyle Sishmo, it's not a fear that it's a Yoyim Adin and a Pachad, but if we have the right attitude, we could feel betuchim, we could feel confident that our job was never ever lost. That's the Mishpat of Rosh Hashanah. And that's how we could juggle these two opposites. The Gilu, the Simcha, the Yom Tov, the Chedmas Hashem, He Mo'oschem, because we believe in the Bayri Yoylam. It is a frightening time, you think about it, but we have the Betochim. The Shoifa, the essence of Shoifa, like the Medrash says, Tiku Bachoyde Shoifa, says the Medrash, Bachoydesh Hazeh, Teshakru Maseichem. The message of Shoifa is a message of hope. Make that Pesach Shalmechet. Make that improvement. Use these days of Adir Shashem Bimotzi Kerubi Yisrael, but make them count. You know, it's interesting. The Rambam says, even though we know Rosh Hashanah, Ki HaShoif is Gzeir HaSakosu, but there's a remez. Uri Yishein and Mishin Aschem, wake up. Wake up. Who's sleeping? Maybe we're all sleeping. No, the Arizal says something astonishing. It says the Arizal, in the world that we live in, when someone dies, Leilenu, he has a sickness and he dies. But how does an neshama die? How does an neshama come to an end of its existence in this world? Says the Arizal that they show the neshama, this is what you are right now, currently. Picture, very clear picture. And a second picture they show, this is what you could have been. This is what you were destined to be. And all too often, the contrast is so overwhelmingly painful. This is what I am. And this is what I could have been. Not the Rosh Hashiva, not the Rav. This is what I could have been. It is so profoundly painful that the Neshama just leaves this world. And that's why Tzaddikim die with Misa Neshika, because there is no contrast that causes Misa. Person, what he is and what he could have been. You know, I don't know if you were here months, you remember, but I can never forget, it goes back a number of years ago, There was a girl in our neighborhood, lived not far from my house. She went with her school for an outing in the woods of Connecticut. Remember that trip? And a young girl was lost. What transpired in those few days was history. People stopped. Jobs, learning, anything, business closed, and everybody went to the woods of Connecticut to look for the lost girl. So a reporter asked one of the Bachim, one of the Yeshiva Bachim, "Are you people crazy? One girl gets lost, a young girl, and thousands of you just stop looking for her? No, she's not some important rabbi, she's a young girl. Why does your community just stop existing because a young girl is lost?" So the right answer we know is Nefesh Achas. His answer was not bad. It wasn't the right answer, but it was not bad. He says, "You don't understand. Now she's a young girl, but we're looking for a future. She'll one day get married and have children and grandchildren. She'll found her own dynasty. We're talking about a future." And then when I heard that, it touched me. Every Yid understands we have to stop what we're doing and look for someone else's future. We have to look for someone else's potential. When do we stop and close our business and look into ourselves and find our potential? To find the real picture of what we could be? That's Rosh Hashanah. We stop. Everything stops. I look into myself. Is this what I could be? Is this all I could be? Am I spending enough time with the real me? And there was a nice yeshiva bracha once he asked Yaakov Kamenetsky a very penetrating question. Rebbe, he said, we talk a whole day about the neshama. What's a neshama? I want to meet it. I want to greet it. I want to touch it. I want to feel it. What is it? So Yaakov, the Chakimoy the Yehuda, the great wise person, says, "Let me ask you a question. You have hands?" He goes, "Yeah." "Let me see you use them." So he starts waving his hand. He goes, "Whose hands are those?" He goes, "Mine." He goes, "Oh, good. You have feet?" "Yeah." "Let me see you use them." And the boy starts jumping. "You have a head?" "Yeah." "Let me see. Shake your head. Now, do everything I ask you. Shake your hands and your feet and your head as much as you can." And the boy looked pretty funny, jumping hands and feet. So he goes, "Let me ask you a question, my good friend. You said your hands and your feet and your head and your eyes belong to me, right? Who's the me? Everything belongs to me, but who's the me?" And the boy didn't know the answer. "Everything belongs to me, who's the me?" See, that's your neshama. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, your heart, your blood, everything belongs to me. The me is the neshama. That's a beautiful Rosh Hashanah thought. The real me is my neshama. Am I catering to my neshama? Am I spending enough time learning with my neshama? Am I spending enough time davening? My hand might be to take me to work, but that's not the real me. Hashanah is the time of Uri Yishen and Mishinaschem, where that Pesach Shel Mecha can make all the difference. What is the message of Shofar? You know, the Gemara learns out the mitzvah of Shofar. The pasuk is a very ambiguous term, Yom Teruah. So, target is Yom Yabav, a day of wailing. Why are we wailing? And how do you wail? And how do you blow Shofar? So the Gemara says, we learn it from Aim Sisera. Sisera went to war with a spectacular army to annihilate Klal Yisrael, and he was late in returning. And his mother realized he's late, and she looks out the window. But Tiyabeb Aim Sisera, and Sisera's mother cried. So the Gemara says, there it is the word, Tiyabeb Yavava, and Yom Tru is Yom Yavava. That's it. The way to blow shofar is the way Sisera's mother cried. Tosfos adds, quoting an Aruch, why do we make 100 koilos? Also because Sisera's mother, she cried 100 times, we blow 100 times. It's astonishing. Vos habich titan with Sisera's mother. This is the holiest day, the heilige mitzvah of shofar, and I can't be puffed if I'm Sisera's mother? I have to learn how to blow shofar, and how many times? Isn't there a more holy source to glean the mitzvah of shofar than Sisera's mother? And why does the Avos say that Rosh Hashanah is one day, Yom Tua, Yom Yabava, as if that's the essence, that's Rosh Hashanah, a day of Yabava, we have to learn from Sisera? Says a Ritzel of Petersburg, you think about it. She has a son, a mighty general, he goes to war, and he's late. She looks out the window, and what's going on in her mind at that moment? I'm going to find out momentarily. Either he's late because he had such a stunning victory, he needed more time to collect the booty, or he's not coming home. He's been carried home in a coffin. He was killed at war. The moment of uncertainty held what's going to be for her the most dramatic decision, the most dramatic revelation, I should say. Says a bit, so that's Rosh Hashanah. That's why Shaifa has to be related to Sisera, to give us a vivid picture, to give us the brutal truth, perhaps, that Rosh Hashanah, everything depends on it. But Asura Rabbi Yashar Zayin Zun adds to that. In the Sefer Rosh Hashanah, he adds, what were the chances, if you learn the Navi, what were the chances that Sisera should lose the war? The Pasuk describes how overpowering his army was. It needed a miracle to stop Sisera, which Taka happened. So why was she crying? Come on, relax. The answer is, when someone goes to war, there's no mukhsik, there's no guarantee, nothing. You can't take anything for granted. That's what Shoshana says, Rabbi Yashar. The uncertainty, even if someone feels he's comfortable and he's muchzik in his health and his job and everything, but Rabbi, wake up to reality. See the truth. See Shaifa, the Abraham is a Yom Yabava, it has to be a day that we have to take seriously. And yet, I saw from the Vilna Goyin, quoted by Abchaim Balazhina, in the Keser Reish, Rabbeinu ha-yisamech ma'oid be'eis tekiya sa'iv shayfa. He had a tremendous simcha. Rav Volpe says, if we would be able to, we should be dancing when we hear the shayfa. How do you juggle these two? A yom yabava, everything on the line, and we have to be the simcha? If we're focused, then we have to hear the Navi talking to us, to me and you. I'll tell you a tzeibu. Of course everything's on the line. But I gave you the answer. I gave you the gift of tshuva, the Pesach Shel Mechet. It's interesting. I want to ask you a shout. I think you all could answer. Someone davens the next 10 days, beginning from Rosh Hashanah until Motzi Yom Kippur. In every Shemoneh Esrei, in those great days, he forgot to say Zecheinu L'Chaim. He's a real forgetful person. He didn't say it once in the 10 days, and probably, I don't know how many tefillahs there are in those 10 days. Was he Yaitza? Everybody knows he Yaitza. That's Zecheinu L'Chaim. The same person, next year, he got his act together, he says Zecheinu. He davened the longest Rosh Hashanah Musaf in the world. Mamish, hour after hour. But one word, he made a mistake. Instead of saying Akela Kadesh, he said Amelacha. Instead of saying Amelacha Kadesh, he said Akela Kadesh. Was he Yaitza? Of course not. He didn't say one Zecheinu L'Chaim. He's Yaitza. He missed one word that of a Melech HaKel HaKodesh. That's the theme of Rosh Hashanah. You have to be focused on Malchus Shemayim. Zecheinu L'Chaim is basically voluntary. But Malchus? That's Rosh Hashanah. But what about myself? What about Sedech Sam Seif was something beautiful, but it's mamish the posh of the pshat in the posik. There was a king that every year on the day of his coronation, he made a tremendous celebration, and basically he cleaned out the prisons. He didn't want old prisoners, and all of them were killed. One day on the day of his coronation, the warden goes to this prisoner, and he has to take him to his execution, and he's jumping and he's dancing. He goes, did you lose your mind? I mean, you know that this is your last moment. Why are you dancing? He says, what do you mean, why am I dancing? Today is the celebration of the king's Malchus. I'm happy for him. What's going to be with me? I don't care. But this is the king's simcha. I shouldn't partake in the simcha. And the warden was overtaken with emotion. Look at this guy. I'm taking this execution. And he only thinks about Malchus, the king. I must tell the king this. And he runs to the king. He says, let me meet this person. I have to elevate him. This is a loyal servant. Says Chassam Sofer, the Navi Nehemiah saw Yidin crying. And they were certainly justified in crying. So what do you say? Don't cry. Don't be depressed. Go make a simcha. We can't make a simcha. We can't even say halal. How do you tell a Yid? L'chu echlu mashmanim u'shizu mamtakim. You know what the answer to Chassam Sofer is? Ki chedvas Hashem hi ma'uschem. If you cry out, HaMelech HaKadosh, if you're busy davening, V'simlech HaTashem Levadecha, M'loich HaKadolim Kulim V'chvaydecha, V'yatsukum HaGudeechas, you know what you're doing? You're showing that you are a loyal servant. Because on the day of Miyichim Miyamis, you're dancing with Malchus Shemayim. You deserve life. You're a faithful servant. Ki chedvas Hashem. When you're happy with the Rebbeinu Shlomo's Malchus, he mo'ozchem. That's your strength. That's why Aleph Yatzevu. If ki kodesh hayoyim ladeinenu, if your focus is accurate, if you know that the main theme of our son is HaMelech HaKadosh, put myself on the side, Malchus, Kvoy Shemayim, Galei Kvoy Malchuscha, then you can have a tochen, then you can have a yomtiv, then you can tell a person, don't be depressed, be simchalik, we have big day Shabbos, have a suda, l'chu echlu mashmanim. That's our betochen. It's a yom yabava, that's true, but it has to be tempered, it has to be controlled by a simcha atzuma that we have the refuah before the makkah. How careful we have to be on the essence of Rosh Hashanah ba'asher hu sham. My pam would always say, gave a moshe, someone comes home Rosh Hashanah, his wife said, oh, make kiddush. He makes kiddush and she gives him a piece of cake until they start the suit, there'll be another hour. And all of a sudden he turns white in the face. He tasted in the cinnamon cake, there was a nut. He must have put in nuts. He goes, how dare you do this to me? You caused me to eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah, what's with you? So he says, you missed the message. We don't eat nuts because eggs gematria chet. And what about chet? Isn't chet also gematria chet? The day is the brain of the year. Everything we do, we don't sleep. But says the Mishnah Berurah, Yoishet Batul Ki Yoshem Dami. This time, on Rosh Hashanah, during davening, in between davenings, wonderful, it's a golden opportunity. We blow shayf on the bima to remember the Schus of Torah. And what about the Schus of Torah actually? What about those moments that we could squeeze in of learning on Rosh Hashanah, or those hours perhaps? What kind of schuss that is for us? I just learned something. I said this in the shul yesterday. I still can't come to terms with it. The halacha, the minhag Yisrael is that Rosh Hashanah, we would think you hold the shofar by this mouth, hold the shofar by his mouth, and he makes the bracha. No, the minhag is he keeps it covered in a talazekel. Why? Why do you have to keep it covered? Says the Avnei Nezer, the tshuva, the halacha, siman tov lamed aleph for the tshuvas. What's the bracha we make? L'shmoya koshay. In other words, it's not the mitzvah, the tekiah, the blowing. It's a mitzvah listening. In other words, we listening are really doing the main mitzvah. Not the Baal Tekiah is doing it and we're like supporting him. The mitzvah is listening. In other words, by saying l'shmoya koshay, we're pointing a finger that the mitzvah is not the shayfa per se. It's the koshay. Says the Avnei Nezer, you're embarrassing the shayf. It's not the you, it's the listener. Just like we cover the path on Friday night, so here our path by Shosai, so too we cover the shayfa, so here our shayfa by Shosai. You know, I'm used to a concept in Adam Lamachim, Bin Adam Lachaveri, but here we have a Bin Adam Lashayfa. Imagine telling a guy, he says, why are you covering the bread Friday night? He goes, I don't want to embarrass the bread. I think you lost it. But But we're so sensitive, we don't embarrass past. Because if you don't embarrass past, you're more careful with your spouse and your friend and your neighbor. And Shaifa, the central theme on Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah, we're concerned about being Adam, the Shaifa. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because Rosh Hashanah is a beautiful day, but it's a very taxing day. It's a very stressful day. A lot of davening, not much sleep. And people start becoming a little edgy, a little nervous, a little short-tempered. The Shaifa reminds us of Asher Husham. You're worried about a Shaifa, how much another human being? You know, the main thing is not eating nuts is not so important as being a toiva masuka at home. We have to come to the Rebbeinu Shel Rosh Hashanah. I'm ready for a new year with new kapalas. Rav Palman would always say, how do you do tshuva? It's just so overwhelming. So we give a muscle we all can relate to. You buy a new home, a $1 million home. You can't afford to put that $1 million. You put down 5%, 10%, a down payment. Why does a down payment work? Because you show you're serious. Cheap, talk is cheap, but you put your money where your mouth is. Oh, you're putting down money. I see you're serious. So what to talk to? He would say, tshuva, you have to come to Rosh Hashanah with kabbalas. Not to be kabbal to be a vilna goyim, that's very good, then you get an A for effort, but it's not practical. There has to be realistic, practical, doable kabbalas. One or two, you could say 100, but you know, tavas teruva. One or two, three kabbalas. I'm changing, this is the new me, Tav Shinai and Aleph. I'm going to spend more time with the real me, more time with children if that's negeya. But there has to be kabbalas, the down payment. Rabbi Yochanan of Lubavitch used to say, the way he would say, he says, Tzikub, Tzikub, mi yichya, mi yomus, when the ganze vibe is so vain, and everybody's crying, mi yomus. But you know what, Aventar has to cry, mi yichya. I will live, I'm a tuchim adin. But what's my life going to look like? I want to cry, mi yichya, that the life should be a life that the aims will have nachas from. There has to be kabbalas in these days. A blanket once spoke, talking this, Halakha City, Muncie, and he spoke Shabbos Shuva, and he asked, he said, you know, for a Rav to speak Shabbos HaGadol is not so hard. You open up the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchus Pesach, and you learn it to Yoyim. But Shabbos Shuva, there's no Hilchus Shuva in Shulchan Aruch. Why not? He said something beautiful. Because a person has to write his own Hilchus Shuva. Because some people are good in davening, but their problem is the Kviyas Yitim HaTayr. Some people are good in learning, the problem is they don't spend time enough with their children. Some people are good in learning and davening with children, and tzedakah by them is weak. And he went on and on, he says, but, so how can the Shulchan Aruch prescribe Hilchus Tshuva if it's totally subjective? We have to write Hilchus Tshuva in these few days. Our personal Hilchus Tshuva, what we, the Kabbalists, that we have to come to the tables, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, this is my Pesach Shomechet, I'm betuchim b'din. We have to try to discover the real me, what I was supposed to be. It's interesting, the central of Avodah Yom Kippur is the two Se'irim, the Sar Lashem, Sar Lazazel. Why is that the defining moment of Yom Kippur, which is the culmination, the peak of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva? There's something very strange about the Azazel, the two Se'irim. They have to be identical. The same height, the same value, the same look, the Domin, the Mara, the Momin, they have to be identical. And then what happens? These Ixmamish, identical twins. One is taken, pushed over the cliff. Eivarim becomes. And one becomes the most important critical moment in Klal Yisrael's year. And that's the Soil Hashem. The message is so striking. Two people in the basically the same position in life. To working people with growing families, with the pressures, the overwhelming pressures of living and raising a family and making panasa. They're the same height, same business, the same pressures. And what happens throughout the year? The one is Hashem. He rises to the occasion. He's equal to the challenge. The other one, Nebuch, with the same Dhamma, Mara, Koima, Lazazel. One's focused on the real me and one forgot the real me. One heard the cry of Shofar, the Yom Yavavah, and one didn't hear it. I once told a story Chafetz Chaim would tell about this boy who goes to yeshiva, and a few weeks later his father passed away. And the Hanala said, you have to call him, tell him the bad news, his father passed away. I said, Kaddish. He came home, he said, Vavai, and he said, Kaddish. A few months later his mother passed away. How do you tell a boy now that now his mother also passed away? And then Hanala had a meeting, how can we tell him that? And one of the rabbis, I have an idea. We'll buy him a new suit. And in the suit, we'll put a note with the bad news. At least we'll cushion the blow. The new suit, it will distract his mind. He'll have a good moment. And then he'll have to juggle the two, the simcha and the tzara. Says the Heilige Chafetz Chaim. That's Rosh Hashanah. The Yom Tov. Big day Shabbos. Take haircuts. We shower. Achlu mashmanim. Achlu mamtakim. It's wonderful. A new suit. But in the packet we have a note. Mi yichya, mi yomis, mi yoshe, mi yisholeh, mi yisas, mi yisyasar. Everything is dependent on that note. So after I said this, someone said, you can't say that publicly, it's very depressing. I said, you're right, it's very depressing. But you don't hear the nimshal. Imagine in the same marshal, with the new suit and the terrible note, there's an eraser that could somehow turn back the clock and erase both tragedies. Would it be depressing? You give him a note, you give him an eraser to turn back the clock and change it all? The mashal was depressing, I told him. But what's the nimshal is me and you. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. We have the note. But we have the eraser in the same packet. Utshuva, utfila, utzadoka, mavir nesroya hagzeira. The eraser is our bitachin in the Yom Hadin. Is our altar at Sevu. Ki chad Hashem imu uschem. The coming here, it depends on that note. But we could change that note if we rise to the occasion. Let me just conclude with something I think that encapsulates everything that we said. There's so much potential in these days. I could say emphatically, unequivocally, that beginning from Rosh Hashanah until after Yom Kippur is the most important period of our lives, period. There's no days that have such meaning and such potential like those 10 days. But we have to make a down payment. We have to be deserving of the betachon that we have to have in the Yom HaDin. There has to be a moment that we have to sit down quiet with the Yishuv HaDas, which is very rare in our society of the hustle bustle, and we have to write our Hilchos Tshuva. I would advise you not to make 20 Kabbalahs because it won't last. Make one, two, or three workable, but make it count. Write your own Hilchos Tshuva for me, Tavshin Ayinav, and that's what Betuchen and Din. Sanzira would tell the story about this mother who lived with her orphans. They had no father, and they had barely what to eat. And one day she comes home with an egg in her hand. And so the jump, we're going to have eggs for breakfast? They barely saw an egg. He goes, no. We're going to take the egg, to bring it to the farmer, and it's going to become a chicken. So he goes, we're going to have chicken for supper. That was really beyond their expectation. He goes, no. We're going to take the chicken, bring it to the farmer, and soon we're going to have a lot of eggs. He goes, mommy, eggs or chicken? No. We're going to take the eggs, and we have more chickens, and we're going to buy a cow. He goes, you mean steak? Milk? Leather? No. We're going to take the cow, and we're going to milk it and sell the milk, and then we're going to have cows and leather and steak and milk and eggs and chickens. And they couldn't believe it. They became rich overnight. They started jumping from joy, and one boy accidentally hit his mother's hand, and the egg fell down and cracked. The mother starts crying profusely. So the child says, mommy, what are you crying? It's only an egg. It's only an egg, but it could have been eggs and chicken and steak and milk and cows. My boy said the angel gave us a matana, the chesed of Yom HaNarayim. Very deceivingly simple. It's only an egg. But the profit that we could reap from these Greiser Heiligetag are unimaginable if we discover the real me, if we find the picture of what I am supposed to be and I will be and I want to be. Don't drop the egg. Take these days, internalize, hopefully eternalize the days, and we should deserve to have the betachin in the Eimadin that we, B'soy HaKlai Yisrael, have a ksiv ha-ksiv ha-toyev ha-shanaz kula, lona l'chol Yisrael, amen v'amen. Thank you very much.
For more information regarding the Monty Nights Yedei Beis Medrash and its programs and projects, please email info@nightseder.com. That's info@nightseder.com. Or call 845-558-0600. That's 845-558-0600. For a download of many of our shiurim, please go to www.nightseder.com. That's www.nightseder.com. Thank you.